Dr. B. R. Ambedkar Open University presents Education at Your Doorstep, a program of learning for everyone.
Hello, listeners. We now bring you a lesson from English for UG third year and PG first year students. The title is Post-Structuralism and Language. Sri P. Narahari Murthy will present the lesson.
Hello, listeners. Today's topic is Post-Structuralism and Language. Post-Structuralism is built on the ground which is prepared by Structuralism. Structuralism enunciates that in order to understand individual components of existence, we need to grasp the knowledge of the whole structure in which those individual components exist. Structuralism and post-structuralism together strive to topple down the age-old, the long-cherished concepts which have been epitomized during the period of Enlightenment, according to which reality is unified, coherent, universal entity, and logos is the center of the universe. But structuralism and post-structuralism strives to show that reality is not fixed, but it is contingent, fragmentary, and culture-specific. According to post-structuralism, language constitutes the world, as if anything hardly exists outside the system of knowledge. For the first time, the concepts and ideas derived from the diachronic study of language enlisted and explicatively argued in Course in General Linguistic, which was written in 1916 by Ferdinand de Saussure. He makes a distinction between two dimensions of language, langue and parole. Langue is a structured system grounded in certain rules, and parole is a specific act of speech or utterance which are based on those rules. Then, language must be the object of scientific investigation, not the act of speech. One of the main arguments proposed by him is, language is outside of the individual, who can never create nor modify it by himself. He popularized the use of terms sign, signifier, and signified, including signification, which together constitute nature of the linguistic sign. The concept of signifier, signified, and sign, which led an attack against the conventional correspondence theory of meaning, whereby language is viewed as a naming process, each word corresponding to the thing it names. Signifier is the word or sound image, and signifier is the concept, and the sign unites not a thing and a name, but a concept and sound image. The latter is not the material or concrete sound, but the psychological imprint of the sound. The impression it makes on our senses, hence, it too is psychological. Linguistic sign is a two-sided psychological entity, consisting of both signifier and signified. The relation between signifier and signified is arbitrary and not natural, but unmotivated, based on collective behavior or convention fixed by rules. Yet, Saussure further states that individual has no power to change a sign in any way once it has become established in the linguistic community. The role of language is to serve as a link between thought and sound, under condition that bring about a reciprocal delimitation of the units of both thought and sound. In language, one can neither divide sound from thought, nor thought from sound. An important seminar held in 1966 at Johns Hopkins University, where Jacques Derrida presented a paper titled Structure, Sign and Play in the Discourse of the Human Sciences. It is text which can be considered as a bridge between structuralism and post-structuralism. The proponents of deconstruction point out that it is not amenable to any static definition or systematization because the meaning of the terms it employs is always shifting and fluid, not static or fixed. According to them, we often convey the meaning in message what we really intended not. The most fundamental project of deconstruction is to display the operation of logocentrism in any text. Logocentrism is the term which refers to any system of thought which is founded on the stability and authority of the logos, the divine word. In the structural analysis, in the presence of the authority of logos, of the relation between signifier and signified, leads to the object reality. The logos thereby authorizes an entire worldview sanctioned by a theological and philosophical system and by an entire political, religious, and social order. Then, if the logos is removed from the structural description, the entire thing will become destabilized, but this process of destabilization took centuries to be happened. If the logos vanishes from the picture, there remains nothing to hold it together, then everything flies away from everything. The structure gets disintegrated. The standard relation between signifier and signified would be destabilized beyond repair. Post-structuralism is to reinstate language within the connections of the various terms that have conventionally dominated Western thought. The connections between thought and reality, self and world, subject and object. In post-structuralist thought, these connections are not viewed as already existing prior to language, with language merely being the instrument of their expressions or representation. Rather, all of these terms are linguistic to begin with. They are enabled by language. We don't simply have thought, which is then expressed by language. Thought takes place in and made possible by language. It is derived from the notion of language as the system of relations. Post-structuralism suggests that there is no truth or reality which somehow stands outside or behind language. Truth is a relation of linguistic terms, and reality is a construct. Ultimately religious, social, political, and economic, but always of language, of various linguistic registers. There is nothing outside the text, even the human self. In this view, has no pre-given essence, but is a linguistic construct or narrative. Textuality governs all interpretative operations. There is no history outside of language. Our textuality, rather history itself, is a linguistic or textual construct. A post-structuralist analysis tends to prioritize language and linguistic operations in analyzing texts and contexts. Reversal of hierarchies through the erasing substantial relation between language and reality is the predominant feature of post-structuralism. Oppositions such as those between intellect and sense, soul and body, master and slave, male and female, inside and outside, center and margin, do not represent a state of equivalence between two terms. In attitude of post-structuralism towards language, we bring the concept of hierarchical relation between speech and writing. According to Jacques Derrida, Western philosophy has privileged speech over writing, viewing speech as embodying an immediate presence of meaning, and writing as a mere substitute are secondary representation of the spoken word. Speech implies an immediate connection with logos. In language, according to post-structuralism, an isolated entities such as piece of chalk would be regarded as having its meaning completely within itself, completely in its immediate presence. Even if the rest of the world is not exist, we could say what the piece of chalk was, what its function and constitution were. And this self-contained meaning requires the sanctioning of logos. When the logos is absent from the scene, then the meaning of chalk would extend through a vast network of relations far beyond the actual isolated existence of that item. Moreover, its meaning would be viewed as relative to a given social and cultural framework, rather than sanctioned by the presence of a logos. In this sense, the chalk is not self-identical, since identity is dispersed through its relations with numerous other objects and concepts. Viewed in this light, chalk is not name for self-subsistent, self-enclosed entity. Rather, it names the provisional focal point of a complex set of relations. It can be seen, then, that a metaphysics of presence refers to the self-presence, the immediate presence of meanings as resting on a complete self-identity that is sanctioned and preserved by the presence of a logos. For Plato, all knowledge derives from the imperfect recollection and imitation of the eternal forms. Hence, truth is the signifier of the signified eidos. The eido, or form, is thus related to its identity. The phonic signifier, as expressed by speech, would remain in living proximity to the eidos. In writing, however, the graphic or written signifier is effectively an imitation of the phonic signifier, an imitation of imitation, which is inanimate and mechanical, falling outside of life. Post-structuralism points out that writing would be separated from speech only as the signifier is separated from its signifier. The signifier is recto and signified is the torso of a leaf. If we cut it to modify, we cannot cut it without getting other side being cut. Thus, by changing the reflection of one another between signifier and signified. As per post-structuralism, an event which has begun to disrupt the system of Western metaphysics, the event metaphorically refers to a complex network of historical processes. Most fundamentally, the event signifies the moment when language invaded the universal problematic, the moment when, in the absence of a center or origin, everything becomes discourse. The connection between thought and reality, self and the world, were reposited or newly posed as problems of language, where language is understood as a system of differences. This decentering is initiated, according to post-structuralism, during 19th century. The post-structuralist view of language deconstituted founding concepts of the entire history of philosophy.
We are listening to Sri P. Narahari-murthy on the topic Post-Structuralism and Language from English for UG and PG students.
Education at your doorstep. That was a program of learning for everyone. Brought to you by Dr. B.R. Ambedkar Open University. So listeners, it's bye till our next radio lesson.